This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And a swing and a drive. Left center field and deep. This ball's got a chance. Cubs win the ball game. Justin Turner with a game-winning home run.
As soon as he hit it, the bat stayed in the air and he knew it. Game over, Cubs win.
Pretty surreal. You know, you run around the bases, not really hearing anything, kind of blacked out, you know. It's a really good feeling to help this team win a ballgame.
A swing and a liner down the left field line. Base hit. One runner's in. Nico Horner rounding third. Nico scores. Cubs win the ballgame. Justin Turner with a game-winning double.
Justin commits. You know, that's why he's been a great player for a long time. He commits, and he's committed 100% to this role, to helping the team win.
That is a good montage of what happened yesterday. The Cubs take 2 of 3 from the Orioles, thanks in part to the man we're talking to now. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score, and we go to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Kind enough to join us after that heater, Justin Turner. How do you feel the day after one of those when it's a beautiful day in the city and you got a little time before the next game?
Yeah, woke up feeling pretty good this morning. So, obviously, a big swing for us yesterday and a chance to swing that series into our favor and, you know, feeling pretty good about it and looking forward to this, you know, division series coming up against the Reds and hopefully keep the momentum rolling.
You've had a couple of moments like this now, Justin. I'm just curious, you're playing less than you have ever in your career. What is it about that situation that you do to keep yourself ready?
Yeah, I think it's just about, you know, watching the game and seeing what's going on and trying to think along with Craig and Flash and what their moves are going to be. And, you know, obviously, you know, guy hits a leadoff double in the ninth and there's a chance they can tie it. I look down at the monitor, see a lefty up in the bullpen, know that, you know, we have some left-handed hitters coming up in the bottom of the ninth, and there's a chance that I might hit for one of them. So go down the cage and start getting prepared. So it's really just thinking the game and trying to make sure you're ready all the time and you don't get caught off guard when they tell you, you know, you're going to go hit for somebody.
All right, I got a couple things for you. Couple things for you. When, Justin, did you make the decision that you were going to be first pitch hunting? Because you looked pretty confident in that swing, in that moment. When did that come to your head? That's the first thing I want to know.
Well, I know he's got a good fastball, and I know he likes, against righties especially, to try to, you know, duff that fastball inside. And then he's got a really good changeup that he throws off of it, and so just wanted to make sure I was on time for the fastball. When you're pinch hitting, it's hard to give away a pitch, right? Especially when you're facing closers and setup guys, you don't want to give them a free strike. That might be the only good pitch you get to hit the whole at bat. So, just wanted to make sure I was on time, make sure I was ready for the fastball. And, you know, I got one that I think he was trying to go in and he left over the middle of the plate.
Yes, he did. And you blasted it squarely. The other thing I want to know, too, is because I was feeling really good in that moment for Daniel Palencia because he's been so good this year. He's out there pumping 102. How gratifying is it for you to have that aspect with that player? Obviously, with the hit being the big deal, but how good did it feel to help out Palencia in that place?
Yeah, he's been so good for us all year and coming in, locking down games. And like Craig said, like he's still human. He's still going to give up a run every now and then. And honestly, he did a great job, and Craig said this too, of not letting it get to him. And and keeping it to just one run. The inning could have spiraled out of control and put us in a deeper hole, but he got us out of it, gave up the one, and gave me a chance to come up and have that big swing. So love DP, love his energy. Obviously, again, throwing the ball so well for us, and to be able to pick him up after he's picked us up so many times this year was a good feeling. And then he literally picked me up after I crossed home plate. So, that was one of the biggest bear hugs I think I've ever had. So didn't need to see the chiropractor after that one.
The picture of that, Justin, is pretty epic. The you jumping into the arms and Daniel, that might be get turned into a meme in the clubhouse. If I know anything about, you know, you guys being able to hang up a picture and have a joke, that the picture is pretty epic. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. I posted about it. And I think, you know, one thing that's probably goes unnoticed is, you know, DP blew a save right there, and he could have easily gone down underneath and gone in the clubhouse and, you know, felt sorry for himself and been pissed off. But the fact that he was standing right there at home plate when I crossed, says a lot about him and the teammate that he is. And he stayed out there, and, you know, he cares about winning the game. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about feeling sorry for him, but just the fired up excitement to be able to win the game and that he was still out there, I think speaks volumes about who he is as a person. So
we're happy to talk to Justin Turner, the man who hit the walk-off to take the series from the Orioles yesterday at Wrigley. This is Raheem Ian Harris with Mark Grody and On the Score. And I really appreciated, Justin, both what you said after the game, talking about the discussion that you had with Craig Counsell about what your role was going to be on the team and how that was going to play out. And then also what Craig had to say about it. What were your impressions of just that discussion that you two had to be able to be doing what you're doing now with this Cubs team?
Yeah, I mean, it took some, I feel like it took a little convincing on my part to even be in a Cubs uniform this year, because, Craig was upfront and honest from the first phone call we had about what our situation was and what the personnel was here, and that on paper is if everyone's healthy, you know, there wasn't going to be a lot of at bats for me. But again, I wanted to come somewhere where we were going to have a chance to win a championship, and I want to win a championship, and I knew this place was going to be special. I played against them for a long time. I've seen what they had. I see what they done in the off season. So it was something that I wanted to be a part of, and no matter what the role is, I'm going to embrace it, and I'm going to, you know, be as prepared as possible to do everything I can to help us win ball games. And I've said it a million times, whether that's cheering guys on, whether that's having conversations, whether that's pinch hitting or playing first to give guys some days off, coming in late in the games or in blowouts to play third, it doesn't matter what it is. The goal at the end of the day is to win a championship. So I feel pretty good about our chances here in Chicago.
Justin, you've been a part of so many teams that have made these playoff pushes as we come down the stretch here last 2 months of the season. I'm very curious as to what you thought about the trade deadline, how things went, and how much this team improved compared to other teams around the league.
Yeah, the trade deadline is always a tricky thing. I've been around for a lot of them. I've been on teams that have made a big, sexy splashes and went out and got the big household names. And I've been on teams that have done more subtle things and maybe not so popular with the fans. And the thing about it is you just never know. You can go get the superstar, the megastar, and it doesn't always translate to championships. I thought, you know, what Jed did, bringing in the bullpen arms that he did, and going and getting Willie Castro, who's a fantastic player, by the way, super talented and can play all over the field. I thought he did a great job, and I think it's easy for fans with what was out there to overlook the fact that I think at the time of the trade deadline, we had the second best record in baseball. So we already had a pretty good product on the team, and finding ways to not only make us better this year, but also protect the future of the Chicago Cubs and all the prospects that we have that are going to help this team for a long time in the future, I think was pretty evident that was the strategy Jed took into this.
We're talking to Justin Turner here on Raheemi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
I love how engaged you are in all of that and how specific you are with all of that. And, you know, one of the things that is said about you and that you have probably even said is that you're engaged in other people's success at this point in your career. We've talked about it all year long. Your biggest value has been in the clubhouse. Now the hit tool coming on a little bit stronger. Obviously, that was your biggest moment, I think, probably in a Cubs uniform. My question is, Justin, how long did it take you to get to a point where you accept in your career that you're the guy who's engaged in other people's success? And you're obviously very interested in your own, too. But to have that part, was that hard to do? Because most guys want to be about themselves, which is understandable.
I mean, I think I've always had that aspect in me and wanted to. You hear about, you know, what makes great players great. And everyone talks about, you know, great players want to make everyone else around them better. And so that was something I always, you know, it always sat with me. Like, great players always make everyone around them better. And that's something that, you know, I take a lot of pride in. I love talking and investing and working with guys. And, you know, I think it's something that's always been a part of me. Now, once the back of my baseball card kept getting bigger and better and more stats on it, obviously, I think it's easier to have those conversations with some guys. Mm-hmm. And everything that I've experienced in my career, I've gone through just about everything. I've been a 25th man. I've been traded. I've been designated for assignment. I've been non-tendered. I've been a role player. I've been an all-star. Won a championship. Starter every day. So I feel like I have a pretty good idea on and how to relate with just about everyone on the roster, because I've been through just about everything that everyone's going to go through. So, you know, I do take a lot of pride in it. And like I said, I do care more about everyone in the room than I do myself. Obviously, I want to do well, but I think if everyone is reaching their potential and having success, then that's going to help us, you know, achieve the ultimate goal. And that, like I said, that's the winning the championship.
Well, we also know that you care about people you don't even know. It was a really cool thing, Justin, to see that you and your family matched all the donations up to $10,000 for a 30-minute period in the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. You know, thanks to help from people like you and others, we were able to raise $750,000 over that for cancer research. What does that mean to you to just be able to give back in the ways that you and your foundation does?
Yeah, I think that's something that's really important for us as baseball players to understand the platform that we have and how lucky and privileged we are to be in the position that we are. And anytime my wife, Court, and I get a chance to give back or have an impact on the community or raise awareness for different causes that are going on, you know, we love to get involved and we love to do that. And in fact, after I made the $10,000 announcement with Marquee, my wife called me and said, you know what, we're honoring Rhino this weekend. Let's make it $23,000. Nice. So we bumped it up to $23,000 in honor of Rhino and matched up to 23. And I think, you know, the fundraiser was a huge success and, you know, all for a great cause, one, to raise research and awareness for cancer and to help out foundations and families who are going through the unthinkable, but also to honor and remember, you know, Rhino's legacy.
I love that level of passion, especially from your wife. I understand she also has a passion for the local football team in town. I'm curious as to if you share that passion and what that originates from, if you will.
Well, I can't tell you how many times I walk downstairs and I see her wearing Duh Pope shirt.
Bears.
She is a huge Bears fan, loves the Bears. I actually am a Dolphins fan. Everyone asks me how I'm a Dolphins fan because I'm from L.A., but the L.A. teams left when I was 10 years old, so I've been rooting for the Dolphins. So with the house divided and
big week.
You know, we have Bears and Dolphins stuff all over the house, and you know, she's ran a fantasy football league for like 15 years now. She loves it. She's so into it. And yeah, we'll definitely be getting to some Bears games in September and October. So as long as the schedule is permitting.
I know people. I could probably get you in. Yeah, I may even be able to get her into practice.
There we go. There we go. Well, I'm also a big USC Trojan fan, so Kayla Williams is there, so I might have to buy my first Bears jersey this year. So
I love it. You know what? I do this thing, Justin, where I give out Bears to people like it's a scale. Like you get 5 Bears, 6 Bears, 7 Bears on a scale of 1 to 10. Because your wife is a Bears fan and you're talking about buying Bears gear, sir, you just got yourself 6 automatic Bears out of 10. 6 Bears out of 10.
I love it. I love it.
Congratulations.
Well, if I told you the name of her fantasy football league, I think that number would go up.
Go ahead, give it to us. I got more Bears here in my bag. I can give some more out.
The name of her fantasy football league for as long as I've been in it is Put Your Dicka in My Bucket.
Oh, my God. I'm overwhelmed.
How many more Bears is that,
Mark? Oh, my God. That is spur of the moment. Do you have any family, Justin, that is from Chicago? Anybody that is from Chicago?
I don't have any family from Chicago. Court's from Northwest Indiana. So.
Okay.
The region.
9.5 Bears is where you are, my friend. Congratulations.
And she has a podcast, right? Doesn't that up the Bears total to 10 then?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
She does have a podcast, yeah.
Where she talks about the Bears?
Oh, she talks about the Bears all the time.
10 Bears.
It's not strictly 10 Bears. About the Bears. It's
10 Bears.
Wait, so who's the bigger sports fan between you two? Because it sounds like it might be Courtney.
It's definitely her. I mean, I love sports and I love being a part of it, but I like baseball. Now she's always locked in, dialed in. You know, I come home after games and I give her 3 questions after every game that she asks about the game. And she doesn't even like sitting in the family section because it's too distracting, because she actually watches our games and is into the game. So she's like, any chance I get to not sit in the family section and have to like get polled left and right about, you know, everyone talking about whatever, she's like, I'd rather sit there and actually watch the game. So
we got to get her in studio.
I was going to say, can she do sports talk radio?
Cause yeah, like, we got to get her in studio.
We definitely have a place for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
If she wants to.
She would love it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's she would love it. She can do it.
That's happening. And in the meantime, like, this is a big Sunday for you guys because number one, Sunday Night Baseball against the Cardinals, but number two, Dolphins Bears preseason game. So like, what happens? Does she care about the preseason?
Well, I mean, she would tell you that the preseason doesn't really mean much after last year's preseason for the Bears. They went 4-0 and it didn't go too well. So she's not putting a lot of stock into the preseason right now.
Oh,
but
man.
It's always nice to win no matter what.
She's good and jaded, too.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, also, I think you bring up a good point because there are a lot of people from Southern California who didn't have football who cheer for other teams. How did you land on the Dolphins?
Right. Well, I was in 94, so I was 10 at the time, and I had an older cousin who was a big Dolphins fan. He loved Dan Marino. Dan Marino was great, obviously, so I spent a lot of Sundays with him watching the Dolphins. And also, I think the thing that really pushed me over the top was a movie called Ace Ventura had just come out.
Yes!
The big Ray Finkel fan, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I love this.
RF, baby.
This has been fantastic. Justin, I know it was probably a rough weekend, and I think that walk-off home run lifted a lot of spirits, to say the very least, and this has been just an absolute joy. Courtney is welcome on our shows, plural, because I know she'd be welcome at any time slot. Anytime, we will make it happen.
Bears.
Love it. Love it. We'll get her on there to talk about some Bears football then.
Oh, this is amazing. And in the meantime, thank you so much for helping donate to the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. That was wonderful. The Red Turn 2 Foundation does a lot of good work, and I want to shout that out as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anything else we need to know about your foundation before we let you go, because you've done so much for us in this conversation?
Yeah, Court and I started it in 2017, and we do a lot of work with homeless veterans and kids in hospitals battling different illnesses and diseases. And if you want to see what we're up to or get involved, you can go to JustinTurnerFoundation.com and, see everything we're doing, what we're doing in the community and how we're impacting lives. And we have no employees. It's me and Court who run the whole thing. So if you email us, one of us will answer, most likely Court. And every single penny that gets donated to us goes to helping someone in need. So we love your support. And, even if it's not us, go give back. Go help out in your community and help lift somebody up who's in need right now. So the world needs it.
Love Amen. That message. Thank you Love so it. Much, Justin. Thanks for taking the time. And Courtney's podcast, I think, just gained a lot more listeners thanks to the score. So thank you for mentioning that, too.
Yeah, Holding Court. Go check it out.
Okay.
Thank you, Justin.
Go Cubs, go Bears and Dolphins somehow this weekend. Justin, thank you so much. That was amazing. That was Justin Turner just hanging out.
Is her podcast going to compete with Take the North? Is that what's going on here?
What if you guys have a showdown? She might be interested.
I mean, hers probably is like really good, though. The way he is talking, like she's a real fan.
Ace
man.
Ventura.
It was
classic.
The jadedness that hit us.
Apparently, we're like 10 minutes late to a break.
Yeah, let's
sorry, and, oh, I'll by the up. Way, a great guest is coming on next. He's covered the Reds for years. You know who he is. C. Trent Rosecrans. The Reds writer for The Athletic. We got to talk to him about some things, too. That's next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Four.
It's in the air to left. Profar going back, and that's going to go! Home run, Benson! His second of the year off a lefty. He goes oppo, and the Reds are up three. To McClain. Series besting the Braves 3-2.
That was FanDuel Sports Network Ohio, and this is Rahimian Harris on 670 The Score. Happy to go out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline yet again, CircaLasVegas.com, and that is where we find a man who's written about the Reds for many seasons. It is C. Trent Rosecrans. He works for The Athletic Cincinnati. Trent, thanks for coming on the show.
Of course. I mean, when Marshall asks, I just do what Marshall asks.
That might be overstating things, Trent, but we do appreciate you joining us. I'm just curious as to what's going on generally with the Reds. We know that they were right there at the trade deadline. They haven't really done much since, but they are hanging around.
Well, they did a lot, just not a lot of games. They've had those two games against the Braves since then, even though they were stretched over 3 days with the Speedway Classic. And so it was, there was a lot going on, but, I think they're still trying to figure out who they are with these new additions. And this weekend didn't help anything as far as their plans of what to do for the rest of this this series.
I made the Firefest joke in our meeting, Trent. The fact that you said it on the air gives me an indication as to how bad the situation went over. I'm sure not only was it a distraction for the day the game was supposed to happen, but then to carry this into yesterday. How do you describe what you guys all went through, either media covering it or what you observed out of fans and
well,
the team?
I certainly had it the easiest of anybody. I'm not going to say like I had a bad time or anything. I sat in traffic some, but that was about it. But I did not. So I had stayed a little whiles away so that I could kind of get back on the road because I drove there. So I did not go to the continuation of the game. I saw four outs of that game. But I was there for a long, long, got there at noon and probably left around 12:30. So good times. So it was just kind of a mess. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. I was talking to friends of mine who went, and they ran out of food and beer. I had another friend who said, like, when he walked in, when they opened the gates, pretty much all the Reds merch sold out immediately. There was a ton of Braves stuff, but the organizers thought it was going to be mostly Braves fans, and I think it was mostly Reds fans. So it was just like everything. And then, you know, they get the intros in and then it just comes down. They're able to finally get everything ready to start again. And then it just keeps pouring. By the time I left, it was not raining, but that was midnight. So just kind of a mess all the way around. And the one big thing was the Reds were planning. They'd flown in that morning from Cincinnati and were going to fly to Chicago the next night so that they could get an off day in Chicago on a Sunday, which is, you know, sick. Baseball never has off days on Sundays. And everybody was excited. Their families were there because, you know, to visit this and then to have a day off in Chicago, which everybody loves. And then this all happened. So they had to scramble. I know they had like hotel rooms just in case, but still just a whole lot of stuff. And so the guys are probably not too happy today.
Yeah, I would imagine not. Trent, let me ask you this. You know, one of the biggest additions to your team, obviously, is the manager this year, and Terry Francona. He's a straight-up winner. He's probably a Hall of Famer. Has he had the desired Terry Francona effect on that team yet?
You know, like, I think that's something to be seen, but it does feel like, you know, he has the respect of everybody. Everybody seems to like him. You know, and even with that, there's still hard and fast rules, and he treats everybody like the same. So I think it's something that can only be shown as we're talking the Tito effect or whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a full season at least. And really, like, at this point, you know, we need to see what happens in the playoffs. This is an organization that hasn't advanced in the playoffs in 30 years, so that's something that they're trying to end.
Trent Rosecrans, C. Trent Rosecrans from The Athletic in Cincinnati, joins us not just on the Score hotline, but also on Twitch. You can see his incredible background on twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. I had to shout it out because the Star Wars memorabilia is nice. Epic. Our Twitch viewers are loving the background that you have right now.
Awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of junk.
No, they don't. No, I think they disagree. I think they think it's pretty impressive. I do want to point out, though, that the Reds are one of the teams with the top five records in the league since, I believe, June 1st was what the John Morosi stat had. This is a team that is working on something, and they are progressing. And they make some moves at the deadline. I know trading for Cabrian Hayes got a lot of reaction from a lot of fans, but when you look at it all together, what do you think at least the arc is right now for this team who visibly is trying to have some progress?
Yeah, I think they got better, but I keep saying, like, they were shoppers at the deadline, but they were shopping at Nordstrom Rack, not Nordstrom. So they kind of had to go on the margins and find different ways to improve. And what they did is, like, each player has kind of a trickle-down effect. Cabrian Hayes allowed Noelvi Marte to move to right. Now, he's a promising young hitter. He's had some issues, and then at third base, it just seemed like he wasn't comfortable and it was kind of in his head. And since he has moved to the outfield, which is a position he had never played, he actually looks more comfortable in the outfield than he did at third base, which is kind of odd. But I think that's going to have some effects. And that moves, this new team needed a right-handed outfielder. Well, they got it by getting a third baseman. You know, they needed bullpen help. Who didn't? Everybody needs bullpen help at the trade deadline. And we saw what bullpen arms were going for. Well, they added a fifth starter so they could move their fifth starter, Nick Martinez, who has a lot of experience in the bullpen, to the bullpen. And then when Hunter Green gets back, he threw yesterday in AAA. I'm not sure exactly if he's going to do one more or two more starts or no more starts until he does his big league debut. But then you can move Chase Burns, the rookie, into the bullpen, and he is going to be an amazing weapon when he's in the bullpen. Just because, you know, you're talking about 100 miles an hour plus just this wipeout 93-mile-an-hour slider. And for a starting pitcher, he needs to really work on his changeup, and it's coming. But as a reliever, he's just going to grip it and rip it. And then finally, they at the end, they added a guy who just crushes lefties. And we're in a season where left-handed pitching is maybe as good as it's ever been. And so when you – this team has not hit lefties well. So you add a guy who – I looked it up. His OPS over the last 3 years is the third best in baseball among against left-handed hitters with people with at least 100 plate appearances. And number one was Aaron Judge, and – I'm trying to remember who two is, but I don't remember it off the top of my head. But you know, Miguel Andujar was third in that in OPS against lefties over the last three seasons. So that's a guy that they hope, you know, is a great bench option that they can come off the bench and really do some damage.
Every game is big, as we talked to C. Trent Rosecrans from The Athletic, beat writer for the Reds. I'm curious, this series, though, we see two of the lefties who have given the Cubs troubles already. When you talk about Nick Lodolo going tonight and then Andrew Abbott in the season, series finale, what do you see this series as? Because it seems like an opportunity for the Cubs to bury the Reds, but it also seems like a chance for the Reds to start their push towards a wild card spot.
Yeah, I think a series win here would be huge for the Reds. And they love having Abbott and Lodolo on there because, I mean, that Cubs lineup is just nasty. Mm-hmm. It's deep. It's difficult. They really put on some pressure. So I think, you know, having those two lefties, maybe the one hiccup, Andrew Abbott was an all-star. And then just kind of look at what Nick Lodolo's done. Mm-hmm. It's been quieter, but, like, it's – you know, just quality start after quality start. And it's been really impressive to see him, and he has made every start and just been, like, very good every time. And the scary thing is really his breaking ball, which has been his best pitch, hasn't really had it until his last start. And his last start, you can go online and see what Shohei Ohtani thought of it. And he was like, you know, you just saw Ohtani's eyes get big and be like, wow, when he struck out at one of those. So it's you know, Nick Lodolo and Andrew Abbott are two of the guys that they, if they could point who they wanted to start in this series against the Cubs, it would be those guys. And those two guys plus Hunter Green is a reason that I think if this team gets to the playoffs, they have a fighter's chance, because when you start with Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, and Andrew Abbott, you're going to be in some games.
Yeah, that's a 1-2-3. That's significant. And I double checked just to see what the record was since June 1st, 29-24. So when you consider that, okay, that's one of the best, you know, in the top four in the National League since then, you take it. I mean, five games above 500, and given what the Reds wanted to do, I feel like that's an appropriate mark for what they've been accomplishing.
Yeah, and I don't think that anybody thinks this is like a 100-win team or a juggernaut at all. But I do think that they think they have a shot at getting in the tournament, and once you get in the tournament, you got a shot, especially if you have arms. So that's kind of what they were building to, and it was not to build the perfect fantasy team. Their deadline moves, it was to make their team better. And I believe they made themselves better. I think it's hard to argue that they didn't.
We're talking to C. Trent Rosecrans from The Athletic here in Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody.
You know, talking about the Reds pitching staff, and obviously talked about Lodolo, but just looking back at some of the game logs and summaries, is that staff as a whole kind of coming in on fumes to Wrigley Field?
No, actually, they seem to be doing all right.
Okay. Like,
I think there's some, no more than any other August. And, you know, if you get Hunter Green back, you know, Nick Martinez isn't in there anymore. Zach Littell is, you know, Chase Burns is still kind of figuring it out, and he's getting near his rookie limits. But I mean, you know, Lodolo went and shoved against the Dodgers in his last outing. And Andrew Abbott is a guy who is just, I mean, it's funny. I can see him in like the old 80s uniforms. You just look at the guy and he's kind of that throwback. And he is he's a guy that's not going to wow you with his stuff, but yeah, he really can pitch.
Trent, thank you so much for taking the time. C. Trent Rosecrans of The Athletic, thanks for joining us on Twitch, too. Everybody is obsessed with your background. So I know you said it's junk, but people really like it.
It's great junk. Well, thanks, Trent.
And I got the Georgia Bulldog stuff, the actual real Bulldogs of the SEC.
Oh, don't do that. See, Marshall's we were having such a good time. Guy. Oh, he knows. Okay. He knows.
Oh, that's right. You guys are buddies.
Shots fired.
Yeah, shots fired. Yeah. For now, Trent, for now.
Will be a fun series to watch with the Reds and the Cubs for sure. Trent, thanks for dropping some knowledge and hanging with us.
Anytime.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. That was a nice little shot there at you.
Well, Georgia's going to play Mississippi State in football this year, and it's not going to be pretty for the kids from Starkville.
Is it? I assume it's not at Mississippi State.
It doesn't matter where it is, Grody.
Since I'm here and we're already really late to break, let me just add this. Georgia is ranked sixth in the preseason poll for the AP Top 25. Illini 16th in the AP Top 25, by the way.
How Bears. Nice is that to see, man? Ooh, was that good to see.
Illini, what's up?
I-L-L-I-N-I.
Ohio State, Notre Dame are 1-2. We have to examine the epicness that happened in our segment before this, don't we? I think we need to react to what we just heard out of Justin Turner.
It was borderline overwhelming.
You gave him Bears. Okay, let's react and also get some more Cubs thoughts before we then hear from Mayor Brandon Johnson. That's at 1 o'clock. More with Rahimi Harris and Mark Grody next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Leila Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
If I told you the name of her fantasy football league, I think that number would go up.
Go ahead, give it to us.
I got more Bears here in my bag. I can give some more out.
The name of her fantasy football league for as long as I've been in it is Put Your Ditka in My Bucket.
Oh, my God.
Perhaps one of the greatest comments by somebody interviewed on this station. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. That was Justin Turner talking about his wife, Courtney, from Northwest Indiana. She's from the region and is a huge Bears fan. She even has a podcast. We were looking it up while we were talking talking to Justin. Yeah, it's called Holding Court, K-O-U-R-T. And she's been at this podcasting game for a while. She's like been filling in and stuff and on other pods since at least like 2019.
I thought we should have read the breaking news sponsor during that. Like, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was overwhelmed with everything. There were the revelations that were made. The super fan of the Bears having her own podcast. The whole thing. I'm still kind of shaken right now.
It was an enjoyable peeling back the layers of the onion to find out more about Justin Turner and his family and the sports craze that is their Dolphins Bears split household.
Yes,
and that too, but he did highlight something. People forget, like, how quickly we forget that the NFL didn't have pro football for a considerable amount of time. Like, a lot of people joke that USC was Southern California's pro team. Yeah, Reggie Bush and the Pete Carroll era notwithstanding. Wink.
I just love that he gets it. And that's, as we said, I think he proved why he is that clubhouse guy, the resident unk at Wrigley, because he's 40 years old. He could still hit a walk-off game winner, and he obviously is a positive influence on everybody else in that clubhouse.
He made our clubhouse better today. I think so.
There's no doubt.
He brought us together. He made us all better.
And I think it's also worthy of shouting this out. I did say to Justin on the air, your wife sounds like she's the bigger sports fan than he is. But when he's telling us about the Bears' undefeated preseason last year.
That was amazing.
What alternate universe are we?
I didn't even have that necessarily off the top of my head at this moment. Like, I would have had to have thought, like, if somebody said to me, what was the Bears' preseason record last year? I would have had to have thought, and then I would have, that's right, they were 4-0 last year. And then they sucked. And then they had a 10-game losing streak.
They didn't suck until the 10-game losing streak.
They didn't suck until the 10-game losing streak. See, streak. That is true.
They did. Talking about Justin Turner's appearance, which if you want to listen to the whole thing, go into the Odyssey app, use the rewind feature. We had him on at high noon today. That was about 52 minutes ago. But the tipping point for me in him describing his wife is when he said she doesn't even sit in the family section because she's too focused on the game itself and that will distract her.
Check me out, Haw. Okay. Here is something that I'm going to bring this to the air. Okay.
Okay.
There is some mystery. I don't know that the person who is texting me this, he probably doesn't care, but I don't know. Somebody at the Score has texted me to say that Mrs. Turner very well could be a Sox fan. Very well, which is just adds another great layer to, because of course she's rooting for the Cubs, number one. That's her husband. She's supporting her husband, of course. But she is apparently from Northwest Indiana.
That typically is Sox country.
Sox country from the region. And the person that was texting me this information says that he might remember during a broadcast, I'll keep it vague for right now, one of the sideline reporters, I'm not saying which side of town, saying that nugget was had during a Cubs-Sox game, that this was brought up. So we need to do our own digging and investigating, but I think it might be out there. Like for us to see that she is a Sox fan, a Cubs fan, and a Meatball Bears fan.
If Courtney Turner has thoughts about, say, the 2020 White Sox season, or 2021, I need to hear them.
But also, remember what he says she keeps wearing around the house, the Pope shirt. And who is the Pope a fan of?
The Sox. That's wow, Marshall, you just cracked the case wide open.
I think that's what that tells us.
You just cracked the case wide open. Go to commercial. No.
If only she were in broadcasting or something and there was a way for us to find this out. You know what we might have a case of here?
We might be able to bring it back.
We might have one of us. So what happened here?
One of us?
Yeah, she might be one of us.
Ooh,
one of us. One
Do you think she's
us.
Pissed off that Luis one Robert didn't get traded?
Wow.
She might be. I have many questions and I would like to hear her answers. We're having a special guest coming on next. It is Mayor Brandon Johnson. Of course, the Cubs making the big announcement over the weekend that the 2027 All-Star Game is coming here. So we will talk to him about that and more. You're listening to Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on the 670 The Score and Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.